and Paul Dottino.
And welcome to a special Monday, no, Friday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, here live from the Quest Center at East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the Super Bowl was a couple of weeks ago. No, no Super Bowl today, but yes, I am back for the first time since the Super Bowl. Back here to the Giants complex as John Schmelk is away in Indianapolis. The Giants and everybody else around the NFL is at the Combine as they check out the prospects who will be entering the NFL draft coming up in May. Yeah, the draft is in May this time, folks. Remember, not the third weekend of April, but it's in May. They've moved it back. The league has decided to, for business reasons, to shift the draft. And so some more time to check on these prospects, some more time for the free agents to wheel and deal and see what they've got in store for themselves. And in the meantime, we are here today for the next hour or so, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you, hashtag Giants Chat, if you'd like to reach me on Twitter as well. Today's program, well, very interesting day today, because the New York Giants have their head coach, Tom Coughlin, out at the Combine, and at 12:45, he will be addressing the media. It's approximately a 15-minute session. John Schmelk is out there with Michael Becton, one of our photojournalists, who will be recording Coach Coughlin. That will be up on Giants.com on tape delay sometime later on this afternoon. Tomorrow, Jerry Reese, the Giants' VP and general manager, will be addressing the media at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that will also be put up on Giants.com as soon as it is made available on tape delay. So now, to understand a little bit more about what's going on at the Combines, tomorrow and Sunday, you've got offense. On Monday and Tuesday, you've got defense, as all of these positions will take to the field and go through all the various tests. And we're talking about the measurements. You know, you get the heights, the weights, and all the physicals these guys have to go through. Then there's the 40-yard dash, the 20, the 10, the bench press, the vertical jump, the broad jump, the shuttle. Am I leaving something out? Yeah, I think the three cone, of course, is the other one that's pretty fun, too. And then you've got the passing drills. Interesting thing about the passing drills, and, you know, a lot of people wonder why some quarterbacks or some receivers don't go to the combine. Well, sometimes they believe that they're going to hurt their stock. Now, how can a receiver or a quarterback hurt his stock at the combine? It's pretty simple. It's not game action. It's just running around doing drills and shorts and a T-shirt. And so if you happen to have a bad day or you're not connecting well with the guy who's throwing you the ball or the guy who's catching the ball for you, the ball hits the ground a lot. And whenever the ball hits the ground, people wince. And that's not good because it tends to drop your draft status. So some folks feel that they just want to let their game tape speak for itself. And so they will pass on an invitation to the combine. And so that's why sometimes if you're trying to scout these guys and you're looking for certain names and say, well, gee, I thought this guy was a pretty good player, he probably could go in the second or third round. Well, why isn't he on the combine list? Well, that's what happens sometimes. Other times, it's because the guy's recovering from an injury that he suffered during his previous collegiate season, and he needs the time off to rehab, and then he will work out at his pro day at the particular school that is holding those pro days, and that's where the scouts will get a better look at him coming into the NFL draft. So I hope that gets you caught up a little bit on what's happening the last couple of days and what will happen over the course of today and the weekend. I think John Schmelk will be back on Monday. I'm not sure. Bless you, Nile, across the room. Dan's with me, of course, here this morning, and we're running the show. And again, 201-939-4513. My question for you folks today, and I don't know if we're still doing a question of the day, but I'm going to give you one. I'd like to know which of the drills during the NFL Combine interest you the most. And again, to go over them, there's the 40 time, the 20 time, the 10 time. Now, the 10 and the 20s are actually splits that they come up with out of the 40 time. The bench press, obviously, is a weight drill. The vertical jump, there's the broad jump, there's the shuttle, which is a running drill, and there's the three-cone drill, which is also a running drill or a footwork drill. So I'm guessing a lot of people probably are most interested in the 40 time, probably. But the funny part about that is, and if you go to Giants.com/combine, which the guys here at the Quest Center have been kind enough to put together, you'll notice that a lot of these guys who are the, quote, top performers at the combine, don't necessarily do real well in the pros. And specifically, the guys who do the 40-yard dash, many of the guys who run the fastest times in the 40-yard dash never even make it to a down in the NFL. And that's because speed time on the field and in the game is a lot different than being in shorts and a T-shirt. Trust me, I have seen a big difference in a lot of these players. In any case, why don't we get right to it? And Dan, hit the button. Let's get to the first caller, Timothy from Jackson. You are first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello. I got a question for you. Will the Giants select offensive tackle Zach Martin from Notre Dame in the second round of the 2014 NFL Draft?
Well, I think Martin is certainly a guy that you have to consider. Now, where is he going to go? That's anybody's guess right now, because a lot of these draft grades are going to change during the combine. You understand that. Guys will move up and down the board as the combine takes its shape. So to tell you right now exactly where he's going to land, you know, I see him as a first rounder. But what if he's got a horrible, horrible grade coming out of the combine? Does he slip into round number two? It's possible. I do see him as a first-rounder, though, and a lot of teams are now saying that they're looking at him as a versatile kind of guy who may not play tackle but may play guard. I mean, kind of like what Justin Pugh was with the Giants when they took him last year out of Syracuse in the first round. So thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
201-939-4513 is our phone number, or hashtag Giants Chat. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we'll take some comments there as well. Dan, let's go back to the calls. Al from East Orange, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to ask a question. If the Giants do take an offensive lineman in the first round, outside of that, how concerned are they about the defense and trying to get one of the good linebackers or cornerbacks to help out this defense? And on offense, do you see us landing one of the top three tight end prospects that they have coming out?
All right, well, here's the first thing. The Giants have to concentrate on offense during this offseason. Whether or not those acquisitions come via free agency, which I don't think you're going to see much done there because they just don't have a lot of money compared to the spots that they have to fill, okay? That's still got to be something that's got to be done. It's got to be a heavy dose of offense this offseason. Now, would you like to see a linebacker in there? Hey, you know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea to add one, but to me, the top priority at linebacker is re-signing John Beeson. Okay, that's something that, you know, they've obviously been on talks with Beeson, but that's not a done deal yet. I'd like to see that get done and put that out of the way and say, okay, look, you know what? We'll work with Jaquan Williams. We'll work with John Beeson. Whatever they want to do with the other side, I mean, that remains to be seen. Maybe there's a guy that can pick up off the late waiver wire or the free agent list, or maybe there is somebody that they could draft on the third day who might be able to compete at the other linebacker spot. That's always a possibility. But it seems to me that the Giants have to worry about offense, offense, and offense in the first three rounds of the draft, if not the first four rounds. The only deviation I would make from that would be at corner. If for some reason they see a really good corner drop to them, let's say in round two, and the guy's a dynamite cover corner and they really, really like him a lot, and they think that there's enough of depth at the other spots at, you know, running back and receiver and tight end and offensive line, maybe I reach and I grab a corner who drops in round two, and I go for another offensive lineman maybe in round three. But I'm really not looking at a high priority at linebacker right now. I can't do that because there are too many holes on offense on this team, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely with the offensive line. I think so. I just was wondering what they was going to do with these cornerbacks now that Webster won't be there, and, you know, with so many injuries with Stevie Brown in the secondary. That's why I was asking.
Well, Stevie Brown is going to be in the safety mix. They're going to try to re-sign him. He's going to come back for a one-year deal, probably for the minimum. And so you're going to have Stevie Brown back there. Monday wants to go somewhere where he's got a chance to start. So you're probably looking at Roland Will Hill and Stevie Brown, in all honesty. And I guess Cooper Taylor will be back, excuse me, after his rookie season. So those are probably going to be your four safeties, okay? I think Monday will get an opportunity to try to start for one of the lesser teams around the league, and he'll go for that chance. At corner, you've got to love what Prince did last season. Certainly he developed into a top-flight defensive back in this league. You're probably going to be able to re-sign Tremaine McBride. And then Jaron Hosley, who after a really rough rookie season, showed some more flashes during the end of last year. And I don't want to give up on him yet. I still think that Jaron Hosley can play in this league, and I think he's going to be pretty darn good. I'm not giving up on him at this point. A lot of people want to. I'm not ready to, and I don't think the Giants are either. And so, you know, your fallback options there, if you don't add another corner, you might even want to try to bring Aaron Ross back. To be honest, his back injury wasn't that bad last year. They put him on IR prematurely because they needed the roster spot, but by the last month and a half of the season, Aaron Ross had already told me his back was healthy. He was prepared to play, but they couldn't bring him back because he was already in IR, and they used the retrievable IR spot on Andre Brown. And so, you know, there was a guy who could have given them snaps who they couldn't use. And I know Ross would come back for a one-year veteran minimum. So maybe he's a fallback option to help depth at corner, too.
Well, what do they plan on doing with DeMontre? Will we see more of DeMontre Moore or Hankins this year?
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. These guys are going to have to get more snaps. Now, Hankins is probably going to wind up seeing more time by default because Linval Joseph, you would expect, is going to get a rich contract to go somewhere else. And so those snaps are going to have to be, you know, given to somebody. Hankins is the logical guy to take those. DeMontre Moore, you know what? We still don't know how healthy JPP is going to be. I mean, he's rehabbing, and we just don't know. And Justin Tuck is still unsigned. Now, I do expect Tuck to be back. But, let's not forget, JPP is coming off of a very checkered season. So, You know, you have to believe that DeMontre Moore will be able to, he's going to have to earn them again. Let's not forget, Tom Coughlin believes that young players have to earn their snaps. They don't get them by default. But you'd have to believe that DeMontre Moore is going to be in line, unless he just gives them back, which, you know, with poor work habits and immaturity, some players tend to do. Unless he gives them back, you have to believe they're going to try to work him into that rotation, and he will get some snaps.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Pleasure to be here this morning. Let's go back to the calls. Noah from New York, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Noah?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, that's great. I'm having a great time being here today. What would you like to ask about?
I was wondering, is, like, the Giants going to have, like, better, like, I think we need better offense.
Well,
because, like, our offense isn't doing so well.
The first thing you have to do to have a better offense is what? I'm going to ask you a question. Oh, he's already gone. Well, you got to have an offensive line. And that's something the Giants had problems putting on the field last year. And so if you guys were listening to me back in November, I was telling you then that the Giants were going to have at least two, maybe even three new starters on the offensive line this year if they're going to be able to do anything offensively. And so, Noah, my answer to you is, will the Giants' offense be better? It will be if they can retool the offensive line, okay? And it doesn't have to be through the draft. I'd like it to be. I'd prefer it to be, because when you draft young offensive linemen like Justin Pugh, you put him out there and you wash your hands for the next 10 years and you say, Justin, just go play ball. That's what the Giants did with David Deal. That's what the Giants have done with Chris Snee. That's what they did with Richie Seibert, you know? You get these big young studs, you put them out there, and you're set for a decade. That's the best way to go with the offensive line. Occasionally, you can do real well by signing a veteran free agent in his prime, like they did with Kareem McKenzie when they stole him from the Jets, and he wound up giving the Giants a half a dozen terrific seasons, including two Super Bowl rings. But you're also going to miss on some of those. With Sean O'Hara, they hit. obviously. Got him from Cleveland, helped him win a Super Bowl. They missed with David Boss. It's a hit-or-miss thing when you try to sign these linemen after they've been in the league for several years. One of the reasons is because they've got injuries and wear and tear. Boss obviously has a lot of wear and tear on his tire. So, did the Giants go that route and pick up one or two linemen that way? Or do they go for one or two linemen in the draft? Now, if you're going to go get linemen in the draft, they've got to get two in the first three rounds. Okay? I'm done with these projects and prospects. It is time to get blue chippers. Blue chippers come in the first three rounds. Even Jerry Reese will admit to you when you talk to him, and he doesn't like to say much. You expect your first three picks to become starters or at least significant contributors, rotation players, et cetera, pretty darn quickly. And on the offensive line, they're not going to be rotation players. They're going to have to take that spot and run with it. So if you're going to go draft, which is what I would do, two offensive linemen in the first three rounds. Mike from Long Island, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How are you? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Good to talk to you.
Good, good. I'm a big Giant fan, and I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
First question is Eli Manning. You know, we talk about salary cap. Guy makes $20 million on the cap this year and probably next year. Why can't he take a salary cut hit? I mean, he didn't play well last year, and he really hasn't played well in almost 2 years.
All right, let me talk to you about Eli. Hold on. Hold on a second. Before you go anywhere else on Eli, understand something. He's got this year and 2015 left on his contract, right?
Right.
Well, he does. I'm telling you that as a statement, actually. Here's the thing.
Right.
If you still believe that Eli's your franchise quarterback, and I still do, okay, you've heard me use that term collateral damage with him last year. I think that's
right.
What happened.
I agree.
All right, if you're going to fix the parts around him, then you still believe at 32 years old he's going to have another 3 or 4, maybe even 5 good years left in him. So what you do is you sit down with him now during this offseason and you extend his contract. Okay, you get him a 3-year extension, and in that 3-year extension, you rip up the final 2 years of his deal, you reallocate the money, and therefore you lower his salary cap number for the next 2 seasons, which then gives you room to do what you want to do. He doesn't necessarily have to take a pay cut to do that. All you got to do is reallocate the money by giving him an extension. You follow?
Yeah, but Paul, yes. Yes, I understand that. But Paul, there's risk. There is some sort of risk with Eli, I think. Okay, you know, don't get me wrong. He won 2 Super Bowls. Great player, getting on in age to a certain degree, and you know,
well, his brother's a lot older than he is, though, isn't he? I mean, come on now. If it runs in the genes, then Eli's got a lot of years to go because Peyton's still doing it.
Yeah, but don't you believe there are some question marks in his game?
Well, my biggest question marks in Eli's game, again, stem from all of the things that have collapsed around him. I still believe that Eli has the mentality that you need to win. I still believe he's got the ability to make throws that most guys in this league cannot make, which help you win. I still believe he's got the respect of the players in the locker room, which you have to win. So what else is it that you're looking at that you don't like?
Well, you know, I believe there are question marks. I mean, you know, even when he's won these Super Bowls, and don't get me wrong, he's a great player, he's a great leader, you know, all those things. But, you know, when you look at the first Super Bowl win,
yep.
Okay,
yep.
He throws that pass to the wide receiver, hits his helmet, et cetera.
Tyree.
You know, let's face it. You know, I'm glad they won. I'm happy as hell, okay? But that was a lucky play, wouldn't you say?
Okay.
If
what?
That play
what about?
Wasn't made,
okay, that's true.
If that play wasn't made, I doubt they would have won the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
Okay, right. Second Super Bowl.
Okay, but did he not make? Well, hold on. No. After the Tyree play to continue that drive, did he not hit Steve Smith on a key third down completion?
Yes.
And did
yes.
not Eli call the audible with Burris on the touchdown pass that won the
yes.
game?
Yes.
So you can't ignore one play and not the other.
Listen, you know, I'm an Eli fan. I'm just saying that $20 million on a cap, and even if you extend him, you're going to extend him for high dollars also. He's getting you one way or the other for $20 million.
Well, there's no question. There's no question. I agree with you that, Mike, he's going to have to be paid at a premium rate because he's got two Super Bowl MVPs. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You can structure these deals to such a degree, and I think that Eli understands the kind of money he's made. I also think he understands that as a quarterback, he's absorbing a tremendously high percentage of the salary cap.
Right.
I don't think Eli Manning is in a position where he's looking at the Giants and saying, look, I want to choke off the rest of this roster where I'm not going to have enough of good players to compete. I think he's reasonable enough, okay, as most quarterbacks are in this league, that they'll work with it. I mean, look what Joe Flacco did. He wound up choking off the Ravens' salary cap to what happened with them this year.
Right.
I don't think Eli's going to be that dumb.
Right. And I agree with you. I just have one more quick question, and I want your opinion on this.
Okay.
Peyton Hillis.
I'd bring him back.
He came in last year. He did a great job for us. He's a nasty guy. He seems like a good player. He could block. He could catch passes. He could go for goal line. Would the Giants ever consider bringing this guy back? I think he's a good player for us.
Oh, I think you're right.
Don't get me wrong. He's not a feature running back.
No.
He's a guy you bring in, to get a first down kind of thing.
He's a role player. And the answer is yes. I do think that the Giants want to bring him back. I think it'll be at a very low cost. I mean, look, he was out on the street without work midway through the season last year. It's not like there's a lot of high demand for Peyton Hillis. But you're right. He's a blue-collar worker. He's a good team player. He's a good guy. I mean, you know, he's very well-liked in that locker room. Yes, I do believe they're going to try to bring him back at a very low rate. And the one thing about him, though, that you have to understand, Peyton Hillis, two things in his career that you know, a negative guy would say. A, he has absolutely no speed whatsoever. When you give him the ball, you may get your 3 or 4 or 5 tough yards on a given play, but there's no way he's breaking it for 10 or 15. He just does not have the speed to do it. Okay,
right.
So that
he's a
itself.
Kind of player.
Yes. Yep. So you're giving up any big play threat when he touches the ball. And a lot of teams don't want to touch a player like that right now because they all want speed and they all want the potential for a big play. So that wipes him off a lot of people's want lists. The other thing about Hillis is if you look into his past, he's had ball security issues. And even with the Giants last year, he put the ball on the ground a couple of times. So, you know, how often do you want to rely on a guy like that? Again, I think they want him back, and I see him as a role player. And certainly somebody who's good to have on the depth chart. But he's certainly not a featured back, and I think we both agree with that.
Right. Paul, I want to thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you
have
so much.
Have a good day, man.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Antoine from Atlanta, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Oh, hey. I have three questions.
Sure.
My first question is, what do you think the Giants will do with Mathias Kiwanuka?
Well, Kiwanuka is a very interesting case because he came on strong the last couple of weeks of the season last year. He's got a salary cap number right now of $7 million going into the 2014 season. I think the Giants would probably like to get that down a bit. I don't know if they would necessarily ask him to take a pay cut or if they may, again, when you give an extension to a guy, you can lower that cap number, but then you tie yourself up a little bit and it could get sticky. So I'm not really 100% sure where they're going to go with that, other than I don't think he's worth the $7-plus million that he's listed for on the cap this year. I think they're going to try to find a way to wiggle that down one way or another. But I do think he's a guy who they probably would like to have around for the 2014 season.
Okay. My next question is, do you see the Giants drafting a corner within the first 3 rounds?
Again, I think it's possible, but it would not be the highest of priorities. I still think they've got to go offensive line first, and they've got to get that thing squared away. And free agency will play a very large hand in how the Giants draft offensive linemen come May. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that may then open up a potential spot in the first 3 rounds to draft a cornerback somewhere. And by the way, going back to Kiwanuka a second, remember, it takes 2 to tango. If the Giants try to reduce his number one way or the other and he doesn't want to do it, you never know. They may be forced to cut him. You just don't know. I mean, a player has to be willing to work with you to get his number down.
My last question is, who do you think is a better player, Linville Joseph or Barry Cofield?
Wow. Today or at the time they ran out of time with their Giants contract? That does make
today.
A difference.
Today.
Today, I would probably take Linville Joseph today. At the time Cofield's deal ran out, though, I think he was a little bit better of a player than Joseph was. But nonetheless, Cofield went and got rich with the Redskins, and I certainly expect that Joseph is going to get a similar offer from somebody to leave the Giants this year. Although he put on Twitter the other day that he really wants to stay. Well, I get that. The problem is, how much do you want to stay when people give you the keys to Fort Knox?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for the call.
All right.
Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Let's look at the Twitters that have been coming in. We got a couple of them here. We have Bone Marrow Blue. Do you feel the Giants should pursue Jay Martin from Miami when he is released? I'm going to make that short and sweet. No way. Case closed. I will not even give a reason for it. I personally would not do it. He also wants to know, can't pass on Denard. I can live with passing on Gilbert. Asinine to think the Giants go offensive line round one, especially when free agency is upon us. Well, here's the big problem right there. The offensive line crop of free agents is not very strong. So the few guys who are pretty good, for example, Alex Mack, the center from the Browns, who a lot of people think the Giants would like to target, he's probably going to get overpaid. Because right now, offensive linemen who can play in this league and have proven that they can play in this league are at a premium. So do you want to overpay an Alex Mack like you did to a David Boss and then it doesn't turn out so good? That's a really, really hard pill to swallow. So when you look at a free agency, part of what you have to keep in mind is that the current pool, and Dan, follow me on this, the current pool of free agents isn't what it's going to be a month from now. There are going to be some March 1st cap cuts, and there may even be some a little bit after that. So the bad news for the Giants is that they're going to have to figure out before the June 1st cap cuts what they're going to do in the draft. And I think they'd like to square some things away with free agency first before they start making those picks. At the same time, you just don't know. You can guesstimate, but you just don't know for sure who's going to be in that free agency pool. Right now, the offensive line crop is not very good. So you will have to overpay for any offensive lineman that you sign during the early portions of free agency. And that is a very dangerous tactic to employ. Mike Farmer says, totally agree with your assessment of J-Ron Hosley. He will step up. I disagree with bringing Ross back, though. Well, you know what, Mike? I'm not saying you definitely have to bring Ross back. I'm saying he might be a fallback option for death purposes if you wind up realizing that come July 1st, you still don't have enough of people at corner. I think he's willing to come back. I think he's a good guy. He's well-liked in the locker room. I think he's got some skills. Again, for death purposes on the cheap, you could do worse than Aaron Ross if it's July 1st and you still don't have enough corners to go out there with. So that's my take on Ross. A.J. Marshall says, who do you think the Giants will select with the 12th pick in the first round? Just think offensive line right now, okay? Bone Blue Marrow says again, Giants could be set for a decade with a quality second or third round offensive lineman in the draft. Look, they got to get two or three new offensive line starters. How many times do I have to say this? Whether or not they're free agents or draft picks, mix and match as you choose. I'd rather get them out of the draft myself. Let's see. Anthony Phoenix says, every team that wins a Super Bowl has been healthy, lucky, and hot in the playoffs. Okay, that's a fair statement. And then A.J. Marshall says, what are the chances the Giants get Brandon Browner from the Seahawks? They're going to decide. I don't think they're going to be able to get their hands on Brandon Browner. I think he's going to be getting some very, very big money very, very soon. Saraceno says, Paul, what's with Tuck? First he said he wants to retire a Giant and explore options. Now he wants a huge payday. Is he gone? A lot of negotiations go on during these times of free agency. I still think that the Tuck situation is going to work itself out. And I suspect that his deal is going to include a lot of triggers that will make it palatable for both sides. So that if Tuck goes out and produces like he did again this season, he's going to get the money that he wants. And if he doesn't, the Giants are not going to be on the hook for very much. I really believe they're going to find some ways to structure that deal appropriately. And MHale21 says, who are you looking forward to seeing in the combine? Marcus, I don't go into the combine looking to see anybody in particular because I like to look at the scouting reports. I like to look at the bowl games and the all-star games. And that's kind of where I make a lot of my decisions. I try not to base very much on the combine. As many people will tell you, that is a tool to be used. I'm not there. You can watch some of that stuff on TV for sure, but I'm not in the interview sessions that the teams have with these players. Every player, by the way, sits down with every team that requests his presence for an interview for 15 minutes, and that's where they get to pick the guy's brain and find out about him as a person. I'm not in on those. That's a big part of what the Giants do every year. And so, to be honest with you, you know, just looking at the raw combine numbers, yeah, I'm interested. I will watch some of it. I will certainly look at all the results when they're tabulated and the paperwork comes in. There's no question about that. But to say I'm specifically interested in looking at one or two players or five players or 10 players, no. No, I'm really, really not. Because I kind of rely more on the personnel guys I talk to, the scouts I talk to, and what I've seen in watching some of the tape on these guys. I'll get some cut-ups, too, on a bunch of guys I'm trying to look at, and I'll try to make some decisions that way. Because I trust my eyes on these game tapes more than I trust what I see a guy doing in shorts and a T-shirt. And I think a lot of scouts and personnel guys will tell you the same thing. By the way, Anthony Phoenix also says, cut Snee and sign Mac and then draft. And Mike Farmer says, one more thing. Oh, boy, I would be pumped for that. He may command too much money, though. And I'm not sure exactly who he was talking about. All right, 201-939-4513. I can't believe half of the program is over already. Let's go back to the phone calls. Oh, my goodness. It's Len from Columbia. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
How you been? And it feels so wrong to be talking to you without Anita sitting here next to me.
I'm telling you, you know, the promo at the beginning said Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, and I thought I was going to get to talk to two of my favorite people.
Well, I appreciate
Paul,
that.
I
miss all you guys. I certainly miss her, too, but I'm only here today.
There you go. Listen, I don't want to bore the steady listenerships with another rant about Linville Joseph like I went off either yesterday or the day before, but I just want to say one thing. You know, these guys that get big contracts in free agency, Paul, there is a reason. I mean, they're not wearing masks and carrying weapons and threatening ownership and other coaches unless they get signed. They're getting these big contracts, Paul, because they're good players. I mean, these guys are good players.
Yeah,
the guys who get the big, like Linville.
But Len, and Len, so hold on. The law of supply and demand tells you what there are relatively few good players available at a specific position. They get overpaid. Their numbers are inflated. And that's what I think some of the folks are worried about, and certainly I'm worried about. You hate to have to overpay for a player just because he's a good player.
Well,
I mean, did the Giants overpay for David Boss? Right?
Well, only the injuries. Remember, he was the center on the Super Bowl team, Paul.
Okay, but let me ask you something.
I mean, you know, if you watch the film of that game.
Yeah.
He played a darn good game.
He did.
Was a quality center.
But
he's
let
a
me
quality center. I mean, the injuries.
I appreciate what you're saying about the injuries, but I really believe that Sean O'Hara was a better center.
Oh, I think so, too. I would agree with
and
you.
And I think when they signed David Boss to that contract, by the numbers he was given, they thought they were getting an upgrade. Not anything against Sean. I mean, Sean was finished. Sean had the injuries, and his career was over. But they thought they were actually getting somebody who was going to be as good, if not better, than Sean O'Hara just by looking at the numbers they gave him. And I think both of us would agree that David Boss, even on his best days, was not as good as O'Hara.
Okay. Let me move on to something else. Again, I didn't want to get wrapped up in Linville because I think you can figure out I want the Giants to re-sign Linville.
Well, that'd be great.
I think he's an important player.
Len,
I think
before you go there, though, Len, you like the DTs they've got in his stead?
I like the DTs, but I think we have to prepare for the day when Colin Jenkins is not going to be an effective. I think we get one more year out of Colin. And after that, I'd like to see Hankins and Joseph together, long term. If we could re-sign Hankins at that point. Listen, let me go on to the defensive
backs. Marcus Coon's in that mix too, you know.
Yeah.
Don't forget about
him. Paul, he's a seventh round pick. He's a plugger. He's not going to get to the quarterback. You know what I like about Kuhn? He throws his hands up in the air and knocks the ball down sometimes. I wish the Giants would do more of that.
Yeah, I hear you.
I love Tom Brady's assessment during the last Super Bowl in 2011. You know, he got to the bench and somebody heard him say, "It's like throwing through a forest with those hands up." I mean, suddenly those hands are down. Suddenly those arms and hands are down. The Giants don't do enough of that.
I agree.
Pierre Paul every once in a while, but they really have to do more of that. Your assessment of the defensive backs, bringing back, veteran depth and so forth. I think we're talking about 3, 4, 5, and 6 in terms of spots. What I'm worried about is the number 2 D back. I really don't want to start the season with Tremaine McBride at corner. If he makes the team, fine. You miss Terrell Thomas, although I'm not sure the Giants are really interested in bringing Terrell back. And the young kid, James. I mean, we got a lot of guys there who between 3, 4, 5, and 6, there's going to be quite a battle. But I would like to see us go cornerback first round of this draft, and either Denard or Gilbert. Because, Paul, next year we're worried about Nicks, and we're worried about Linville Joseph and Tuck leaving. We are not going to be able to afford, or the Giants are not going to be able to want to pay Amakamura and Pierre Paul. One of them's going to have to go, Paul.
I hear you.
And I think we got to prepare for. I think we got to prepare for that day. I think if we go corner, somebody who steps in on day one. Nothing personal against McBride. I don't want to see him at the starting cornerback on night one of the NFL season. I just don't think we get to 10 wins. I don't think we can win the NFC East with him, along with some other guys, obviously, but who need to be replaced.
All right, let me throw this at you, Len.
I think we should go corner.
Let me throw this at you.
Go ahead.
Terrell Thomas certainly has durability issues. Even at the end of last season, they couldn't get him to play all 16 games. It was a great story, and I couldn't have been more happy for him. But he's of the opinion now that he wants to challenge for a starting job, and he wants to get paid to do so, especially after he took, some significant pay hits when he was injured and the Giants kept him around. So I think he's going to try to cash in off of his miraculous season and wants a chance to start. I don't think the Giants are prepared to do that, and I also think that they believe they may have gotten as much milk out of that cow as they can last year. So I don't count on him coming back. You're absolutely right, and that's the reason I did not talk about him. The other thing...
Okay, can I just...
Sure.
Go ahead. I want to say one thing
about
Thomas.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Paul.
Well, he's a great guy.
Can I say
and quite frankly, he played very well last year, but here's the thing. He's not a full-time outside starting corner right now. He's just not.
Oh, no. Oh, in no way. In no way. And I think... I think the Giants are somewhat disillusioned. This is going to be somewhat controversial, Paul. If you don't want to go there, just stop me. His comments about the Michael Sam situation.
Irrelevant.
I mean, the boss said the Giants would have no problem with it, huh? The three things you learn as an employee, first thing, get to work on time. Second, do your job. Number 3, don't embarrass the organization. when the boss says one thing, even if you think something else, Paul, just shut the heck up. Just be quiet.
Len, I agree
don't
with you.
Don't embarrass the organization.
But I honestly don't think what he said was so bad that it embarrassed anybody. It was not that dramatic. But I think it's irrelevant anyway,
okay,
because, again, I think he's thinking on a different plane than the Giants are right now, and I don't think that's a match. As far as Charles James, you know now, and Dan's sitting here next to me, he'll tell you, he was my dark horse last summer at a rookie minicamp to make the team. He was my pick. I come up with one every rookie minicamp. He was my guy, and he made it. So I'm happy to get that hit. But
I hope he gets a legitimate shot at returning punts.
All right, but here's the thing. That's what he is. He's a potential return guy, and he's a deep guy on your depth chart to play some corner because, quite frankly, with his lack of size and he's not very strong, he's not going to match up very well against most guys in this league. At best, he's a situational slot corner when playing defensive back. So,
yeah, all right. He's 5 or 6. He's 5 or 6.
Exactly.
If you go, maybe 5, but if you go to 6 and he can return punts, and I'd like to see him get a shot at it. I'd like to see him get a shot.
I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a name before I let you go. Purifoy out of Florida.
Okay.
Purifoy out of Florida as a potential second or third round corner. Okay. If the Giants decide they're going to take a stab at a corner in the top 3 rounds, I could see Purifoy being that guy.
Is he a day one guy? Can we pencil?
He is not a first rounder. He is a second or third rounder, but he's a 6-foot corner, goes about 190 pounds, and I think he's got pro skills to be a cover guy in this league.
Paul, on those first 3 picks, I want guys who can start on day one. I mean, we need players, Paul.
I understand.
I mean, we got a lot of holes.
I understand. You got more holes on offense, though, but you got more holes on offense than you do on defense. And quite frankly, here's what you're forgetting, Len. If that pass rush wakes up again like it did during the final month of last season, your cornerback isn't quite as important as you think it is. Remember, the defensive backs were getting hammered last year during the first half of the season because nobody was getting heat on the passer.
Yep.
So, the plan, I think, is like it always was. The Giants rely on that front 7 to be stout against the run and to turn up the microwave on the other guy's quarterback. That's always been the Giants' plan.
Well, I hope so. But, you know, if you look at the left tackles on the opposition in the East, I mean, they're all Pro Bowlers. If you look at the wide receivers on the 3 top, I mean, we got 6 games against the Redskins, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. I mean, that's 6 big games, Paul.
I hear you.
Those are the teams we got to beat. We got to go at least 4-2, maybe 5-1. And in Eli's lifetime, you know, let's just say 4 years, all right? 4 years. We got 24 games against those guys. How are we going to beat Trent Williams, Tryon Smith, and the guy Peters? I mean, is Pierre Paul going to be capable of beating those guys on a consistent basis?
I got a more important question for you, Len. If you don't get more help on offense, how are you going to score any points against these people at all?
There you go. Hey, if we score 30 points, we got them beat, Paul.
Thanks, Len. You take care, okay? We'll see you again another time.
Good talking to you.
All right.
Good talking to you.
201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. If we've got a flood of calls, and right now we only have one on the line, but if we get a flood of calls in the next 15 minutes, we'll extend a few more, and we'll take you maybe to 45 after the hour. Joe from Pennsylvania, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello, John.
No, Paul here today. John's in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I can transfer you to his cell phone if you want me to.
No, that's fine. I just was going to say, I said this to John yesterday. I got last on the line, and we had to hurry up. I was saying we sign Joseph, and then we either deal him or Hankins. We could trade anybody else on the line. Somebody would deal for them guys. Either we get draft picks, or we'll make a deal for offensive linemen, receivers, tight ends, running backs. We need all that, Paul.
All right, wait a second now. You want to sign Linval Joseph and then trade him?
If that's the deal, instead of losing him, just like, what's his name? Hey, they make deals. We made deals for Eli. Remember when he was drafted? The Colts made the deal for who's that good receiver they gave to the 49ers. At least they got a draft pick for him. You know, get something. Somebody,
you mean the Ravens and the Niners when they did the Bolden deal?
Right. Jerry Reese got to get shrewd. Somebody will give you something for sure. Deal.
Here's the thing.
Joseph or Hankins, for sure, you can get draft picks.
Here's the thing.
Something.
Jonathan Hankins was drafted to be one of the future starting defensive tackles on this league. He is a special talent. I know a personnel guy in this league who told me they think he could be a Pro Bowl player.
Correct.
Why would you get rid of him?
Well, you can only who would you prefer, Joseph or him?
Oh, you got to keep Hankins. He's younger and he's cheaper.
But we're losing him. I don't know about
Hankins?
That. I would trade anybody on that defensive line.
Hankins is under contract. He was a rookie last season. Hankins is under contract, and he's going to be cheap for the next 2 years after this.
That's why it'll be no problem getting a good high draft pick.
Oh, no.
You hold on
to Hankins, and Joseph, here's the thing. Okay, let me explain something to you. The defensive tackles in this league, okay, when you look at the guys, in fact, let me look at the salary here. It's 3, 6, 9. The 10th highest paid defensive tackle in this league is Justin Smith of the 49ers, who's making an average of $4.5 million a year. Okay? I'm going to tell you, I bet you Linval Joseph gets at least $4 million a year from another team. And the Giants just don't have that money to give him.
Well, look, we're going to give that much for an offensive lineman for Mac if we could. We're going to overpay.
Yeah, but here's the
That's
problem.
Why I'm saying we
you
make
have
this deal.
Nobody to play offensive line. You've got guys on the defensive line who can plug in. You've got bodies there. There's depth. There's Cullen Jenkins. There's Marcus Kuhn. Sean Rogers coming back for another year.
And
you don't know.
All them guys are tradable if we sign Joseph, and we'll get something then.
Because Joe, I got to be honest with you. I don't see where you're coming from. I think you got it backwards. But I appreciate the call.
We're going to lose Joseph for nothing, just like we did the other.
Barry Cofield. Absolutely. But you know what? The Giants lost Barry Cofield, and they still won a Super Bowl after he was gone. It's okay.
I understand that, but they get shrewd. Jerry got to get shrewd. He can do this. Somebody will give him a draft pick or something high for him, or make a deal for an offensive lineman.
And then you understand what happens? Once you re-sign Linval Joseph, that money goes against your cap.
I understand that.
And now you want to trade him away for a draft pick and destroy your cap?
Well, it might not be him. It could be Cullen Jenkins, Kiwanuka, anybody but JPP, maybe even JPP, because you said he's up next year.
He's got one more year left. That's the season.
Somebody will deal for all them linemen. That's what I'm saying, Paul.
I don't see it.
You can wheel and deal. You could do it. I don't know if Jerry, but I haven't seen him make any real shrewd deals lately.
All right, Joe. Well, true dudes. Look at the deal he made for Beeson. He gave up a 7th rounder to get John Beeson. That was pretty shrewd. Joe, I love your enthusiasm, and I like your creativity, but I'm not going there.
Somebody ain't going to want to sign the Giants defensive lineman?
I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen. Linval Joseph is going to get a chunk of change thrown at him, and he's going to get signed. And he's not going to be here anymore.
Well, Giants in control. The Giants can get something out of there then. Even if they'd have to pay part of his salary and get something.
But then that hurts your cap. You never, ever want to add money to your cap.
Jerry can do it, Paul. You can do it.
Joe, take care. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. It's getting warm in this room. 201-939-4513. Joe's a good caller. He's enthusiastic. I don't know that he totally understands the dynamics of how the roster works and all of the business machinations that are involved, but I do appreciate his ingenuity and his creativity. Is this Roldy from Bayshore, who is next on Big Blue Kickoff Live? Hello.
Good morning, Paul. I mean, the one thing I do agree with you is We don't really need to re-sign, you know, Linval Joseph. I mean, he did a good job for us last season. But then again, that's the reason why we drafted Jonathan Hankins, you know. And he's still on his rookie contract, and I think he could still get the job done just as well as, you know, Joseph can. And I think by having him, he's cheaper. We're not going to be able to afford, a guy like Linval Joseph. But the one question I wanted to ask you, I mean, why do you think that the Giants are going to draft the offensive lineman in the first round? Because me, I don't like that theory of that, because there's a lot of tackles in the first round, and the Giants don't need tackles. They need guards. And Eli Manning, like I've been saying it all along, Eli Manning does not need another rookie offensive lineman. Granted, Justin Pugh did a good job, but Eli Manning does not need a rookie offensive lineman to come in there, try to learn the system, and then Eli's still back to the same thing. We need to go back into the drawing board, go back to the free agency, like we did with O'Hara, like we did with Kareem McKenzie. Guys that are young in their prime, sign them in free agency, not through the draft. That's the one part I don't agree with you with. Quite frankly, I'd be very upset if the Giants draft an offensive lineman in the first round, because there's a lot of tackles.
There are two factors here that you presented to me, and let me quiz you on both factors and see if I can change your mind. First of all, last year the Giants drafted Justin Pugh in the first round to play right tackle. How well do you think he played?
I think he played, in the beginning of the season he wasn't doing a good job. But then towards the end of the season, that's when he started picking up. But in the beginning, it wasn't working out for him.
All right, but on the whole, do you think that Justin Pugh was the guy who caused Eli Manning to get crushed last season? I think you could make a very strong argument that he might have been the least responsible of the offensive linemen.
I will agree with that.
Okay,
I will agree with that.
So what I've now done is debunked your one point about a rookie tackle is going to get Eli killed. That's not going to happen. Justin Pugh did not get Eli killed last year, so I'm telling you, if they draft a first-round right tackle this year, that guy will probably not get Eli Manning killed either.
Hold on.
That's point number one. I think I've kind of debunked your one point. Number two is this. If you think Justin Pugh is a really good player, and I think he is, I think he's going to be around for a decade as a very solid NFL lineman.
He is
extremely smart, extremely athletic, very talented, great worker, loves being here, and the Giants are very, very strong in the belief that he not only has the skill set, but he has the mentality to play center or guard in this league.
But do you want to move a young rookie guy like that? Do you want to move him around?
He's been
playing that tackle position for a long
time. Let me ask you a question.
Do you really want to mess up the guy's psyche, and now you move him?
No. They moved David Deal around everywhere. He played four positions for the Giants over his career. What's so bad about
David
that?
David Deal is a different breed.
Justin Pugh is extremely intelligent. Extremely intelligent. The Giants firmly believe that he could be a guard, a center, or a tackle. They think that much of him. And trust me when I tell you, I've talked to this guy. He is so football smart. He is so astute. He has such a great attitude. He just wants to go out there and play. He's not one of those guys who says, you know, I really think of, like Kareem McKenzie would always tell us, and I like Kareem, but Kareem would say, I'm a right tackle. They better not put me on the left side because I'm not a left tackle.
And he did a great job. And he did a great job at right
tackle. But my point is, his mentality was, I'm a right tackle and that's all I am. David Deal's mentality was, put me anywhere on the line and I'll get it done. Justin Pugh's the same way. Put me anywhere on the line and I'll get it done. And I believe in him, and I believe in the Giants who say he's smart enough to play another position. So this is what you do. You move Pugh inside to either guard or center, wherever you think you're going to wind up needing him now, because you have to retool all three of those positions on the interior, and you draft yourself a stud right tackle in the first round. Now, is there a chance, and I don't think it's going to happen, that Greg Robinson of Auburn is going to get down there to number 12. But so help me, if he does, I would jump at him. I've been telling people for several months, Antonio Richardson out of Tennessee would be my guy. I notice a lot of people have him dropping down into the second round on the draft board, and I see that, and that's fine, okay? But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Maybe Zach Martin's the guy. A lot of people are saying Zach Martin's getting a lot of interest from the Giants recently. Okay, fine. If you can get yourself a road grader, a power right tackle in the mold of what Kareem McKenzie was, and then you can take Pugh and move him inside, you've now solved two positions. Isn't that good?
I hear you, but my theory is that right now in free agency, here's the thing. I know we need a lot of there's a lot of holes on offense, but on defense, we got some holes there too. In free agency, there's not a lot of good linebackers that's out there. You would agree with that, right?
Oh, no question.
And we need outside linebackers. There's not a lot of good corners in free agency. So, all right, let's focus on the draft. Let's focus on grabbing a good stud, a difference maker, a cornerback in the first round. Let's get a difference maker in linebacker, and then let's solve our issues on offensive line with free agency, because there's tons of free agent offensive linemen especially the guards. I don't think the guards are going to come that expensive, you know. And that's what we need. We really don't need tackles. We need guards and centers. And I think the free agency has tons of guys that's available in free agency, but there's not a lot of linebackers in free agency that wouldn't be a difference maker.
Here's the thing. If you sign I feel like we
could probably get a good offensive lineman in the third round. You know, I would be happy with that. You know, but I would not be happy if we draft an offensive lineman in the first or second round. I feel like we should go after a cornerback in the first round, a stud outside linebacker, because hopefully we could re-sign John Beeson and he could solidify that defense for us. But I think we still need an outside linebacker in the second round. And then maybe the third round, you know what? If there's a good stud offensive a guard that's available in the third round, if you draft the offensive, a guard in the third round, he'll be able to start also as well. But I feel like that's the way the Giants should go.
Here's the thing, though. I think actually we're kind of almost on the same page here, in that we're both trying to make chicken soup, but I think we're looking at the ingredients being little bit different. We need, if you're the Giants, you need a minimum of two new starters on the offensive line, preferably three. How you get them, whether or not it's two free agents and one draftee, or two draftees and one free agent, I don't care how they mix that up, but they need a minimum of two new starters. I think you agree with me, right?
Without a doubt.
And maybe even three. So that's ultimately where you and I both want to go to. So how they can figure that mixture, two and one or one and two, I'm open to changing that depending upon what they can get their hands on. I'm also open to saying, if you're going to draft two offensive linemen, if you go that way, two of them better be in the first three rounds. And use the other pick in that first three-round allotment as your wild card. And if you want to make that a corner, make it a corner. I'd rather make it a corner than a linebacker. But you know what? I don't think we're too far different here when push comes to shove.
I hear what you're saying.
Randy, one more thing, Weldy. The reason I want to go young with offensive line is because, you can get good hits like Kareem McKenzie, who was a great hit. You can get a great hit like Sean O'Hara.
Phenomenal hit.
Great hit with Sean O'Hara. But here's the thing. More often than not, when you sign veteran free agent offensive linemen, they're not long-term answers. I love the fact that you could draft a deal and have him there for a decade. You can take a Richie Seibert as a rookie free agent and have him for a decade. I love the fact that, you have Chris Snee and you have him for a decade. I love drafting these stud offensive linemen and saying, look, that's a position that I can wash my hands of for the next 10 years. When you go through free agency, there's a chance that you'll hit a Kareem McKenzie and you get him for 5 or 6. But there's also a chance you sign a David Boss, and you know what? You may have him for a year or two, and he's broken down, and then you got to retool again. Let me give you a great example of what the Giants did your way, and it worked once before. After the 1999 season, do you remember what the Giants did in free agency?
No, I don't remember.
All right, here you go. After the 1999 season, they went out into free agency. They signed left tackle Lomas Brown. They signed center Dusty Ziegler, and they signed right guard Glenn Parker. They retooled their offensive line, had three veteran free agent starters opening day year 2000. What did the Giants do that season? They went to the Super Bowl. Okay?
Hey.
The following season, they kept those guys around. Glenn Parker and Lomas Brown were adequate at best. They had milked the last gallon of milk out of those cows during the 2000 season, went to the Super Bowl, and in 2001, Glenn Parker was horrible. Dusty Ziegler got hurt, and Lomas Brown was also horrible. And the Giants had to then retool their entire offensive line the following season, and it took them years to get that offensive line back on track again. Now, was it worth it to get to the Super Bowl in 2000? Yeah, sure it was. I get that. But that was kind of like catching lightning in a bottle. Could they do that again by changing three offensive linemen out? Well, they're going to have to because this line's no good as it is. But if you get young studs, well, now you're building not only for this year, but you're building for the future too. That's why I'd rather go two draftees and one veteran. If you want to go the other way, you know, I get it, but I'd rather not go that way.
I just don't want to mess up Justin Pugh's psyche right now. He you know,
don't worry about his psyche.
And
trust me.
He's strong in the tackle position, the right tackle position. And Will Beatty had a horrible year, but I'm sure he's going to pick it back up. He's going to have a bounce back year. I just don't want to, you know, switch Justin Pugh to the guard position or a center position. Now he's going to have to learn another different position. Now it's going to set the Giants back a little bit because that's something new to him. He hasn't played that position.
Trust me when I tell you, you're not going
to
wreck
the season. I don't want to go into the season with Jermaine McBride, which he did a good. had a good season.
All right, Roldy.
I just need a cornerback. I hear
you, and like I said. You could get a really good corner around two or three if you had to. Bottom line is, you're not going to mess up Pugh if you move him. Trust me when I tell you that. And if you buy into that, would you be okay with moving him?
With who?
Would you be okay with sliding Pugh inside if he were to tell you that he's okay with it?
I just feel like he finished up the season strong on the tackle position.
All right.
To the point that I wouldn't want him to move.
Roldy, you know? I hope we see you at training camp. Okay.
I want to guard it or the center. I just want to thank you for you taking my phone call and
sure thing.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, Roldy, you be good. Alright, Tom, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. By the way, our number is 201-939-4513. Tom, go ahead.
Morning, Paul. I think that this is an opportunity for us to move down, given an opportunity in the draft. There's a tremendous amount of talent. 100 players come out early, so...
Yeah, you know, Tom, you make a great point, because some people have told me they think you can find a starter in the fourth round this year. That's how good this draft is.
Oh, it is deep, and for a center like Richburg from Colorado State would be terrific. There's some wide receivers there in the second round that would be terrific for us.
Oh, there are definitely four rounds worth of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared, no question about that.
Yeah. So I think that's the case. And for linebackers, Christian Jones is a terrific linebacker from Florida State. I think he's a guy that could come in and help us. And he'd be there, I think, when we select in the third round. So.
Well, you know, here's the thing that you have to keep in mind if you're Jerry Reese. Okay, you've got to deal with this free agency thing first, and you know you're going to have to bring in half of a roster. The Giants are literally about half a roster short right now when you consider the guys who are unsigned and the guys that they want to replace. That's a lot of bodies you got to fill. You know you can't
do a lot of bodies.
You know you can't, yeah, and you're not going to be able to do it all through the draft. You only have six picks, okay? You can't do it all through free agency because you don't have enough money. So you know you're going to have to mix and match. You also probably know you may have to pick up some rookie free agents off the street. I mean, and the Giants have had some luck with those guys before. Remember Will Hill? You know, it can happen. Richie Seibert, great example. So understand there are probably going to be three different ways for the Giants to acquire players over the next several months. And you're going to have to go through all three routes to fill up this roster. You're not going to be able to just rely on one route heavily to fill up the team.
That's right. And when we compete for those guys, we don't have the kind of money that Oakland or Cleveland.
That's correct.
There are some teams out there that are sitting on a ton of money. I don't see us getting Jennings or Mack. Both of those teams have lots of capital to spend. So.
And that's a huge problem. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, given the fact that the Giants do have some money tied up in guys like Eli Manning, for example, and Victor Cruz, for example, they're not in a position. You know, they want to re-sign Justin Tuck. The money is an issue. I mean, look, if they only had to replace 10 guys on the roster, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But they've got half a team they've got to reconfigure. That's the issue.
It's a big issue. It's a big hurdle to go over. And
sure it is.
I think we can compete in the NFC East. I'm not so sure we can compete against Seattle or San Francisco next year.
I think
it's a two-year process.
I hear you. You might be right.
Without plugging in temporary guys to just fill in a need, you know, it's gonna take a couple.
Well, they tried to do that last year. What, they signed like 13 guys to 1 year veteran minimum contracts. How did that work out for you?
Didn't help us too much.
No. And all you did was put off the inevitable because now you got to replace most of those guys.
Yeah.
All right, Tom.
Here we go.
Thank you so much. We got the phones burning up yet, so we'll keep going for a little bit longer. Frank from Tampa, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Paul, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. It's an honor to talk to you. I've been watching you and listening to you for years.
Well, thanks so much. It's great to be back, I'll tell you. I've had withdrawal for the last month.
Well, great. Just a couple things, question and an observation. I do think signing somebody like Mack is a little different than signing someone like Boss. I mean, Boss was kind of done on spec where, you know, Mack has shown that he can play at an elite level in this league. Boss was sort of on spec not only for his ability but also for his position. And so I think there's a complete difference in those two.
Well, I actually agree with you that Mack's resume is more accomplished than what David Boss's was when he left the 49ers. I don't have a problem with your statement. Here's where it gets tricky. Look at the free agent pool as it stands right now along the offensive line and specifically at center. Mack is really one of the few quality guys that have the kind of resume that can command a great deal of money. And my biggest concern is not that they get Alex Mack. I think he'd be a fine addition to this team. There's no doubt in my mind about that. My question is, how much do you have to overpay him at this point, given the law of supply and demand and the relatively few quality veterans at his position that are on the market?
And I agree as well. I just was pointing out the difference, though, in the two. I do think they have, you know, quite a few differences, sadly, for us.
They do. I think Mack would be a better sign, but I also suspect, again, the money is an issue.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I didn't have a chance to call in, but John was asking for some questions, you know, that he might be able to ask when he's out at the combine. And
he's out there now.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you a question. Maybe you can answer it.
Okay.
All the time where, you know, whether it's, you know, commentators like yourself or even, you know, GMs, et cetera, they're always saying, you know, well, you know, the guy ran such and such at the combine, jumped such and such at the combine, but he's in sneakers and shorts. I'm wondering, how hard is it to put these guys in a uniform and have them run so you can actually tell how high they can jump and how fast they can run in a uniform? It doesn't make any sense to me.
The only reason that I've ever been able to figure out is because everybody's uniforms are different, everybody's pads are different, and then as a result, you're not measuring them on an even playing field. When you put a guy stripped down into shorts and a T-shirt, everybody is now on an even playing field. So from a scientific perspective, when you're testing people, you have legitimate results to compare them to. But everybody wears different sets of pads. Everybody wears a different brand of pads. Everybody's pads weigh a little bit different. Everybody's pads allow for a different level of mobility. I mean, even on the Giants, if you go into that locker room right now, do you know how many different sets of pads, helmets, and different types of equipment each guy has tailored to his specific needs?
But you wouldn't have to be looking at it from player to player. You would get and you could even have both, but you could get an accurate read as to what your guy can do in the pads that he chooses to wear. So I don't see how that's even a valid consideration.
Well, their problem is if you're going to line up 10 cornerbacks, okay, They want to be able to see, of those 10 corners, who runs the fastest. And they want to be able to say, okay, they all had shorts and shirts on, T-shirts. This is how they lined up. And in order from 1 to 10, this is who the fastest guy was, and here's who the slowest guy was. That's what
sure,
they want to be able to do.
Why not do both? Have them in the shorts, and then you'll also know how fast they can run in their...
You know what? I don't have a problem with that argument. Why not tell them they also have to run in their pads and their regular equipment? I wouldn't have a problem with that. But that's not my call. That's not my call.
Right. And the other drill that just seems so, I think it's just passed by, you know, in terms of the strength and all these guys. As a former power lifter, you know, I don't see whatsoever where, especially today, back, you know, 30 years ago when, you know, a strong guy was benching 2 1/4, maybe 15 times,
right,
it may have had some validity. But now guys are pumping out 30 reps, 40 reps, you know, like it's nothing. And it doesn't seem to me that there's, you know, what's a football player need? Fast twitch muscles, right?
Yep.
Explosion.
Yep.
The most he ever moves for is 10 seconds on a football field. Doing something 40 times to me is completely, you know, is the antithesis of the muscles and the ability you need on a football field. Why not do a max or a 2, 3, or 4 rep max, something that, you know, that is going to show what you can do on a football field when you need to do what you need to do. I mean, when do you ever doing anything for a minute, which is what it takes to pump out 40 reps? Remember a few years ago we got that guard. He was from down south somewhere. He set the record. He did like 40, and he was gone in a heartbeat. You know, he couldn't play football at all. But I don't see what doing 225 reps 40 times has anything to do with what a guy does on a football
Frank,
field.
I'll tell you what. I'm entering my 32nd consecutive season of covering the NFL and the Giants in particular, and I have to tell you, you're asking some very legitimate questions that I don't have an answer for. I was not involved in the development of the combine, and I happen to agree with you. Common sense says to me, well, if these are the kinds of things you need in an NFL game, then why are you testing for so many things that don't really apply? I happen to agree with you. I really do. And I'm not trying to blow you off, and I'm not trying to tell you that you're wrong, because I think that you're making a couple of very valid points here. I look at the combine, and this is why when I said to an earlier caller, you know what? I don't go gaga over this. I know that I do work with the NFL Network some, and I enjoy working with those folks, and I know that they're wall-to-wall coverage on the combine because it's a big deal for them. I get that. But the truth is, do I go gaga, gaga, and salivate over the combine? I don't.
Well, you know, and it's not like the NFL, you know, is averse to change. I mean, of all the sports, you know, baseball, I mean, my God, to make one decision to be able to block the plate, you know, it takes them 15 years to come to a determination. Every offseason, they change 32 rules in football, you know. I mean, why wouldn't they change the drills at the combine to be more reflective of what these guys actually do on a football field?
Let me put it to you this way, my friend. If someone said to me, you could watch all of the combine stuff you want on Eric Ebron, the North Carolina tight end, or you could watch a half hour of cut-ups from his games over the last season, what would you rather do? I'd watch the cut-ups.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at the combine stuff.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
If you ever get a chance, maybe you could ask Jerry Reese or Mark Ross or one of these guys, you know, if they could maybe tell us why. Is it, you know, I know the NFL is not averse to change. It just seems like they would constantly be tweaking these things to, you know, be able to further, you know, be able to develop.
The only thing I'll tell you, Frank, is that there have been some very obvious things, and I'm not going to get into them here, that I've asked Jerry Reese about and John Mara about and said, why do they do things this way? And their answer was, because the league wants them done that way. It's always been done that way. I agree with you. It doesn't make sense, but that's the way it's always been. And I suspect that's probably part of the answer you would get if you asked them this very question.
I think just simple things like having the receivers actually run patterns against the defense.
Wouldn't that be useful?
Make a lot of sense?
Frank, I'm with you. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Take care, Paul.
Sometimes the most logical thing makes no sense at all to those in charge. Is Randy from Virginia next? Okay, why don't we go to Randy? Randy, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got a few minutes to go. Go ahead. By the way, 201-939-4513. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Man, I'm loving life, man.
All right. Well, by the way, we'll take this sucker to 11 if you guys still want to call in, but that's going to be it, okay? Go ahead.
All right. So I wanted to ask a question of you about what you thought would be the top three priorities on re-signing. I'm asking your personal opinion. I'm not asking you what they're planning on doing. Don't want to get you in trouble if you're privy to that.
No, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'll tell you what I think.
I wanted to say that as far as draft goes, you know, we've got to get a, you know, offensive line, linebacker, and corner. I would say maybe offensive line, corner, linebacker. You know, I really love that pickup we had with Beeson, but, you know, even similar to Terrell Thomas, you know, you need insurance policies for these guys. If they can hold up, then that is wonderful. You're winning. But, you know, they do have some injury history, and, you know, you can't put all your eggs in the basket with them.
I'm with you. All right, listen, you want my three guys. Unequivocally, if there were no restrictions on any of this, I would have to have Tuck and Beeson and Kevin Booth. Okay?
Okay.
If I could re-sign any three guys right now, and you said unequivocally, no restrictions,
yeah,
doesn't matter how long the deals are, doesn't matter how much money it's going to cost you, those three guys would have to be here on my team in 2014. Is that fair?
Yeah, I believe Boofy's played every position except for right guard on the line, hasn't he?
He's done it all. He's done it all. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think he's a good locker room guy, smart player, versatile player, quality player. Nothing, you know, that you're going to write home about, but a guy who can just plug in and leave him alone, and he does a solid job. So he would be
my third guy after
having Tuck and Beeson.
Oh, I agree with those three absolutely. I understand there may be some financial strains, but I would agree with those. I think it should be a priority to retain some of those defensive players, especially the defense. I say did a pretty good job this year, you know, in spite of the year as a whole. But it was kind of overshadowed by, you know, many misfortunes, especially, you know, turnovers on offense. You know, as soon as Perry Fuel just got the revelation, you know, just let's not make the defense so complicated. Let's, you know, do a good job of, you know, studying the film and let the guys play. I think that's when you start seeing a lot of plays being made.
Well, I don't think there's any question that the addition of John Beeson was the biggest change that this defense went through during the course of last season. And he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for that. But, yes, Perry Fuel did tweak some things. The Giants also played some lesser quarterbacks during the second half of the year as well. And to be totally honest with you, people keep forgetting about this guy, but Will Hill, coming off of his suspension, was a tremendous asset to the secondary.
Absolutely.
He's a really good player, guys. Really good player.
Yeah, if he keep his nose clean, man, I really like his future.
With you 1,000% on that one. All right?
All right.
Hey, thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's go to the next call. Hello, you are next. This is Ben from Clifton Park. Is that right?
That's correct there, Paul.
How are you, Ben?
Good.
Welcome
Good
to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good to talk to you. We got 10 minutes left. What's up?
Yeah, I think the important thing is that when we went to the Super Bowl, we had a strong offensive line and defensive line.
Yep.
So you got to make that offensive line into a strength and correct the weaknesses. I don't think Beedy played well at all.
He was terrible last year.
What's that?
He was terrible.
He was awful.
Yep.
I mean, I like Will. I think he's got ability, but he didn't play up to his ability. And when I was talking to John Schmelt, he says, well, you signed him to a long-term deal. Well, the thing is this, that doesn't solve the problem.
No,
he
it doesn't.
He didn't do his job.
He did not do his job. And here's the deal. The year before, he only gave up 3 sacks. And that's why they gave him the big money, because his pass protection was really good. So he got the contract. And then last year, he gave up double-digit sacks. I think it was 11 by my count. He had a really, really rough year. So now, unfortunately, because of the money he signed to, and I understand, by the way, medically, his leg was surgically repaired and he's doing well. I've been told he should be ready for training camp. Now, here's the thing. You pretty much, because of the money, you're locked into giving him another chance to come back and prove that he's worth it. He's got to play at the level that he did in 2012, or the Giants are in a heap of trouble.
I agree. And my belief is that in the first round, if you got that Greg Robinson from Auburn.
Terrific prospect.
Luan, what's that again?
Terrific prospect, Robinson. But is he really going to be there at 12? I just don't see any way he drops to 12.
Well, you never know, because the Giants, they had Prince Amukamara. He dropped, and they picked him up.
He did.
And there were other players that slid. You know,
it can happen.
We had Rodney Hampton. He slid to the Giants.
It can happen. There's no doubt. It can happen. And trust me when I tell you, I'd love to see it. But you know what I've been told? I've been told, okay, that you're talking about as many as 7, perhaps even 8, first-round offensive linemen in this draft this year, and maybe as many as 6 tackles. It's a really good first round for offensive linemen. So even if it's not Robinson, maybe it is a Zach Martin. Maybe it is a Morgan Moses. Maybe it is an Antonio Richardson, who I targeted in the middle of last year and seems to be dropping a little bit. There's going to be, in all likelihood, a stud road grader of a right tackle available at number 12, regardless of who he is. And they got to take him.
Oh, I agree. I would say this. Pugh is a good player, and from what I could see of him, he's got a good attitude. And I think he'll do whatever the coaches tell him to do. If he's got to play center, he'll play center. If he's got to play guard, he'll play guard.
Yep.
And the other thing is that there's a lot of tackles. There's Richardson from Tennessee. He's a good player.
Yeah, Tiny Richardson. I've been targeting him for a long time.
He's a very good player.
I think so, too.
Morgan Moses is another intriguing prospect.
No question.
He could be gotten into the
out of Virginia.
Second round. Yeah, the Virginia
iffy. Guy. Iffy. But, yeah, I mean, again, remember, the Giants are going to be picking in the mid-40s because they get 12 picks into that second round. Is he going to be there by then? Don't know. But, you know, here's the bottom line, my friend. Here's the bottom line. They've got to get, in my mind, 2 offensive linemen in the first 3 rounds. But, again, that's my configuration. We had a caller earlier today say, get me 2 veteran offensive linemen and only get me 1 guy in the draft. Hey, whatever you want to do, but you got to get offensive linemen or this team is going nowhere.
I agree. And the thing is this, I agree with your assessment. With the offensive linemen being like deep in the first, second, and third, and even the fourth round. I would say in the first round, you got to get Taylor Lewan. They figured he's going to drop.
Yeah, I've heard some bad things about him, though.
You did?
I've got some bad intangible information on him that makes me kind of shy away from him.
Well, he's got a bad attitude, or?
I've heard as much. And that's one thing I do not want.
No, I agree with you on that there. What about that Cyrus Kujau?
Yeah, the guy from Alabama.
He's supposed to be very good.
Outstanding first-round pick, no question about that. He would be one of the guys you'd want to consider.
Yep, I would take him in a first round.
The big problem there is, obviously, Alabama doesn't throw the ball a whole hell of a lot, so you worry about how quickly is he going to pick up pass protection.
I'll put it to you this way. They won a national championship.
Yes, it did.
Was it like 3 years?
Trust me when I tell you, he's a blue chip first round pick. But you know, if he's on the board and Zach Martin's on the board, I'm probably taking Zach Martin if it's a choice between those two. Also, Martin's versatility comes into play too. But yeah, the Bama
Martin.
Guy. I'm not going to cry if the Giants get the Bama guy at 12. I'm not going to cry about that. All right, my friend. Look, I got to get to one more caller before we close this out in the next 4 minutes, okay? I appreciate your call.
I got one more question.
Yeah, real quick. Go ahead.
Probably in the first three rounds, probably in the third or fourth or whatever, probably second or third. What running back would you take in a second or third round for the Giants?
I'm not even looking at running back, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd like to sign Ben Tate from the Houston Texans as a free agent. And if I wanted to go running back, I'd probably go on the third day, way back in the fifth or sixth round, and perhaps even look at another free agent to bring in. I do not want the Giants to draft a running back in any of the first four rounds. Don't even want to think about it.
I think you're right about that. I think you got to go with the skill positions, like the offensive line and linebacker and
The grunt positions.
Good defensive backs.
You got to go to the grunt position up front, and that's what I want to do. Running backs, trust me, you don't look. They got Bradshaw in the seventh round 1 year. You know what I mean? You don't have to go high for a running back. And they've been burned already with David Wilson having that injury. They're saying now his neck is doing pretty well, and they're hopeful he's going to be able to make it back. So I'm not going high for a running back. I think that would be a mistake. Appreciate the phone call, my friend. Thank you.
Well, Paul, thank you very much.
All right, Charlie, you are last. Charlie, hello. You are the final caller on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'll make this quick for you. I think we have more than enough money over the cap if we restructure Eli's contract, do a couple of the other things we need to do with Sneed and Boss, etc. And we just got the cap, just got raised $7 million. So we should have $30 to $37 million with cap space if they do those contracts. So there should be no excuse, or we don't have the money to get the people that we want. So,
Here's the only thing I got to tell you. Hold on just 1 second before you go any further. I agree with you. The Giants have at their disposal the opportunity to create a lot more space than they have now. You're absolutely right, but a couple of things have to be kept in mind. First of all, those players have to be agreeable to doing those kinds of things. I do think Eli Manning will be. I do think Chris Snee, as he attempts to come back, is willing to lower his cap number. Is a guy like Kiwanuka going to be willing to do that? I don't know. Is John Beeson going to come in at a reasonable rate? Because we agree you got to re-sign him. But is he going to want bigger money than you're willing to give him? I don't know the answer to that. I think he's going to come in reasonable. I think Tuck is going to come in reasonable. But I don't know if that's going to happen. You need players to work with you. You can't just say, we're going to do these numbers and it's going to be okay. The players have to agree to that also.
Right.
And then the second part that you're forgetting is that they do need to fill half of the roster.
I understand
that's
that.
That's a lot of bodies.
The thing is, I just don't want to hear they don't have the cap space, because they do if they want it, and there is players that will go along with it and say, yeah, we want to help the team. Eli definitely will.
I suspect as much. I suspect as much. But that's still half the roster that's got to be filled, and that's a lot of bodies.
Well, they've got a lot of their own free agents. If you look online and you see, like, what are the best free agents out there, you know how many Giant players are on the top of that list? They got to sign their own people. You know, Joseph is on the top of the list. Nix is on the top of the list. I mean, you know, they got to start signing people. It's almost the end of February, and they haven't signed one person
yet. All right, let me ask you another question then. Your team was 7-9 last season. Do you really want to re-sign a lot of those free agents for bigger money than what they made coming off of a sub-500 year?
Yeah, some of them I would, because the reason why we were 7-9 is because we had a horrible offensive line that got injured. That's our main problem.
Right, right. And you're going to have to invest a lot in that offensive line, and you're going to have to invest some money in the tight end spot. You're going to have to invest money in a corner spot.
Well, tight end, you can pick somebody up like a Jake Ballard, who played very well for us, and I think he will play very well again. He's a year over his knee injury. He played for Carolina. He did.
I don't know about picking up Jake Ballard at this point. That's a lot of wear on his tires.
He played well, and he's got a chemistry with Eli. I mean, who would you rather have as even if he was a backup tight end, who would you rather have, him or a Donnelly or Robinson right now?
I'd rather
have Ballard.
I don't know medically where Jake Ballard is today.
Well,
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
I hope the Giants find out, because he played pretty well with the Cardinals.
I think I'd like to have Pettigrew from Detroit.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think he's that great.
Anyway.
I dropped a lot of passes. But anyway, all I'm trying to say is that we have the money. I don't want to hear about it. We don't have the money because they have it if they want to spend it. We can fill this roster. We can get the people that we need, and we can sign our own free agents. To me, as long as the Giants keep going and don't sign the people that they want, when free agency comes around on March 11th, these guys are going to say, hey, I might as well go out there and try free agency. They're not signing me yet anyway. So to me, they should have had guys locked up. By the end of this month, the 28th, they should have guys locked up. And if they don't, it just shows me that they're not committed to making this team go have a chance to go to the Super Bowl next year because they're not going to spend the money and they're not going to sign the
Charlie, people they need I appreciate to your time. I know they're going to try to rejigger a lot of these deals. Hopefully, for their sake, the players will be amenable to doing that. But I believe, as always, you try to build through the draft. And I'd like to see the Giants fill a lot of these holes through the draft and through even unsigned rookie free agents if they can find some more gems. Because this game is about young people. It's not necessarily about grabbing retreads off of other people's rosters. Because you also get their injuries that go with that. And then that causes you more cap grief. All right, that does it for today's show. Remember, we're here Monday to Friday at 9:30. On Giants.com. Our number is 201-939-4513. Always get us through Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. One more time, today's schedule. Tom Coughlin will be addressing the media at the Combine. Our own John Schmelk is out there in Indianapolis. He will put the interview up or the press conference up on tape delay. Coach Coughlin to talk at 12:45 today for 15 minutes. And then tomorrow, GM Jerry Reese addresses the media at the Combine at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Again, tape-delayed coverage of both of those news conferences right here on Giants.com, courtesy of John Schmelk and our own videographer, Michael Becton. Well, that'll do it for me. I'm Paul Dottino. Take care, everybody.